We have sang that song a lot with our children, that's for sure. It's funny when you start to hear a baby starting to catch the song, just start to catch snatches of it, and you go, hey, baby's starting to sing Jesus Loves Me Too, you know? It's quite remarkable. Something I was gonna mention, I totally forgot during my message this morning, you know, the whole matter of going through tough times. I was when Sister Hannah was playing Bright in the Corner Where You Are as the offertory, she went into a part that had a minor key for a short while and then went back into a major key. And the minor keys are typically a lot more, they kind of a little, you sense the sadness. And, you know, in the Christian life, we'd go through those times with the minor key, so to speak, and then come back into the major key in the sunshine. And I just thought that was kind of interesting. Okay, well, let's turn to Romans, please. Romans chapter 13. We're finishing off this chapter and coming into chapter 14 this afternoon. When you find your place, we'll stand for the reading of God's word if you're able to. And we'll read Romans 13, 10 through 14. Romans 13, 10 through 14. Beginning to read. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you and we thank you for this powerful passage of Scripture that reminds us of the time is short. Lord, we don't know when your return is, but regardless, our lives are as a vapor. We think that your return is likely to be soon, but even still, Lord, our lives are as a vapor, as James said. Lord, it comes, it goes. And Lord, we have so little time on earth, we pray that we would redeem the time, that we would put off the darkness, put on the armor of light. Lord, help us to focus now on this passage, gain some truths, and be convicted and encouraged. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So these verses here, we looked at the God's command there to love our neighbor as thyself. We looked at the fact that love is the fulfilling of the law. It completes the law. Isn't it interesting how Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law? And here in Romans 13:10, it says, love is the fulfilling of the law. And he, with his greatest gift, his sacrifice of love, he demonstrated the fulfilling of the law. He finished it. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. What does that mean? Love worketh no ill. It doesn't have a hidden agenda. It doesn't do anything to hurt our neighbor. And as we know, neighbor is not just the guy across the street. Anybody we come in contact with. It worketh no ill. Love looks to lift that person up, to strengthen that person, to show the kindness of Christ to that person, whether they are lost or whether they're saved. Love worketh no ill. It's not destructive, but it's constructive. Verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Sometimes Christians can get spiritually sleepy, can't they? You ever had those times we've been spiritually sleepy? I know each one of us have, haven't we? Spiritually sleepy. Where we get I mean, what's it like when you're sleepy? You nod off, you wake up, and it's one of those things where you know that you should be awake, and you've got feelings of guilt, and it's like, oh, I shouldn't be so lazy, but oh, I just, if I close my eyes for a little bit longer, I'll feel so much better. Oh, I put Glenn to sleep. But spiritually, we're not supposed to be dozy. It is supposed to be sober or alert. You know, we're not to be sleeping on the job. Imagine what would happen if Brother Glenn at his work, he does a lot of night shifts. Can you imagine him? Oh, he does sleep? Okay, well, maybe we'll go with a different illustration. Okay, well, some jobs you can do it. Some jobs you're able to, some jobs you're permitted to, and you know, some jobs you're not. In my job as a paramedic, you know, there's those times where you get downtime and you can catch a wink, and then there's times when you better not. I've had colleagues that have slept with a patient on board, and that has netted them some serious trouble. Some serious trouble. That's like dereliction of duty. That's neglect. It's a patient abandonment. even though you're there, it's still abandonment. But as Christians, we are not to be sleeping on the job. Let's take a look at some verses. Ephesians chapter 5. And this verse, this passage we're going to look at has the aspect of awaking, but it also has the aspect of redeeming the time. You're familiar with that passage. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that ye walk circumspectly. Remember, the word circumspectly means to be watching all corners, like or in a circle around you, not corners, but you know, you think of a vehicle. When you're driving a vehicle, you've got to be watching everything. You know, you're making a right-hand turn, you got to watch out for the cyclists that might be, you know, bombing down the sidewalk, for some pedestrians that might be coming. You know, every part of the vehicle, you're watching to make sure that you're not going to have a collision. Well, as a Christian, we're supposed to watch every part of our spiritual walk. How do I function at work? Do I work hard? Am I good testimony to my coworkers? I don't blow my top. I don't use filthy language. I don't tell filthy stories. As opportunities are available to me, have the opportunity to speak a word for the Lord. You think about that. How do I drive? Do I drive in a way that pleases the Lord? How am I to my neighbors? Do I have a good relationship with my neighbors? Am I kind to? I'm talking those neighbors next door to me and across the street from me. And you know, those are the questions we got to ask us when we, you know, are we circumspect? What do we do for entertainment? Those types of things. So, see that you, verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Now, we can't turn the clock back. You might lose a day when you say, you know what, boy, I just blew that day. I could have done so much and I didn't. We can't do anything about that. And some of those days, some of the things are beyond our control, aren't they? We start off with great intentions. I think I had a boss once working on a farm, and he had some sort of an energy deficient disease where we would start off the day and he'd be just pumped and he would say, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're going to do this and this and this. I'm like, okay, let's go get this done. And we'd start into it and I'd need a hammer or something. I'd go looking for my boss and he's crashed out on the couch. And it was no fault of his own. It's just that he had the intention, but his body didn't, you know, spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak, so to speak, you know. bodies could not do it. So we do have those days when we have the intentions to get much accomplished and we're unsuccessful. But then we have those days where we realize after the fact, I wasted time. I chose to do things that pleased me rather than things that would please the Lord. So redeem the time is where we start to take note, take stock of what are we doing? How are we using our time? How can I better use my time? How can I redeem the time that I have left today, the time I have left this coming week, this coming month, this year, for the rest of my life? So awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. Of course, there's the unsaved person, they are to rise from the dead. And then even as believers, if we fall into that spiritual slumber, we are to arise. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. I marvel at people that get bored in life because, I find there's so much to do, I cannot be bored. And maybe that's not a problem for anyone here. I know that as a teenager, I had problems with boredom and felt that life was pretty boring. But as you get older, doesn't time seem to speed up on us? And we have, I guess, maybe have more responsibilities sometimes. But we need to find ways to capture and utilize our time. Just like a dam on a lake, on a river, and you might have an area that's just free flowing, and it's not generating any electricity. But then you crank open one of the generators and channel it through a particular funnel and you capture the energy there. I'm using highly technical terms, I know. But for those of you that have experience in dams, forgive me, channels and things like that. I'm sure that's not exactly what they call them. So 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Awake to righteousness. Awake. Wake up. Again, remembering we have so little time left on this earth. People are dying around us. I marvel sometimes. I get caught off guard so often. We've had ladies at Bedford Manor. They seem in good health, and then boom, something happens, and they go. And they die. It's like, oh man, I wish I'd had some more one-on-one time to talk to them and really see whether they're truly saved. I mean, they've heard the gospel so many times. But you want to have that one-on-one, and it's like that opportunity's gone now. It just slips up on us. It happens so quickly. So we have to be time conscious. Not only do we have a limited time to serve Christ in our life, as mentioned earlier, our life being a vapor. But again, when is Christ going to come back? And also when you think about time, you think of the different generations. The generation that's the of children that are growing up right now, 10 years, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, might be hardened atheists. We want to reach them before they become hardened atheists. We know it's even then the Holy Spirit can still break through. We got to begin today. Before the light bulb was invented, one had to work during daylight hours because, of course they had candles and things like that, but they couldn't work to the same extent. You think of farmers. Now you can, when I worked for Doug Boys, we used to thresh wheat and other cereal crops, sometimes up till midnight. Speaking about sleeping, I fell asleep at the job once, waiting for him to signal me that he was ready to fill up my grain truck. I was sitting there in the grain truck on the top of a hill because the starter was dying on the truck. Had to bump start it and do it. And he would put his auger out and turn the light on and off. And one night, I didn't respond. He had to walk all the way over. But farmers now, we've got lights and stuff. We can do that. You can work late into the dark. But back then you couldn't. So we have this illustration of working while it is still day. Take a look at John chapter 9, verse 4. Christ talking about that. John chapter 9, verse 4. I don't do so well at night if I'm not active. If I'm active, I can stay awake. But if I'm just sitting, I don't do well. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work, Jesus talking here. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We've got the night that's coming. I mean, there's multiple sort of layers to this. I mean, your neighbor's night might come tomorrow when God takes them out of this world, and you'll never be able to witness to them again. You think about another night that is coming. Well, our own night, whenever, if the Lord takes us home before the rapture. But also even after the rapture, we know that the scripture says that the Holy Spirit will be taken out from the world. And then this world will be in so much spiritual darkness. So until that time, we are to work fanatically for God, just to get out there and give the gospel. The available time to work is so precious. Can't afford to spiritually sleep. Okay, going back to our text, Romans chapter 13. And now that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Our salvation nearer than when we believed. Well, you might say, but I am saved. I have my salvation. Remembering that the salvation is completely finished when we get our new body. We have the earnest of the Spirit living inside of us if we've trusted Christ as our Savior. But then we have that completion when we will be as He is. We'll have His body. And we're getting closer and closer. We are closer to that moment than the day that we believed. I believed at the age of 5, so that's 36 years ago. So I am 36 years closer to my salvation than when I believed. Carry on here. Verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. 1 John talks about, particularly chapter 1, talks about walking in the light. We're not supposed to walk in darkness. We're not supposed to be of this world that, as we read in John, that those that love darkness rather than light. We're not supposed to be hypocrites that look to be good Christians on Sunday and live a double life on Monday. We're to walk in the light, no darkness. And we're supposed to put on the armor of light. You think of the armor of God that we read about in Ephesians. There's a few different passages. The one is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17. There's other mentions of armor, Isaiah 59, 17, 1 Thessalonians 5, 8, Isaiah 11, 5. The way that Christ was girded, and then this passage here in Romans 13:12, to have the armor of light on. Not only does it protect us, But it's a testimony. It's light. It's a testimony to this in this dark world, in this dark age. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. Walk honestly. We looked at, you know, Romans 12:17. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Be honest, completely honest. Where we don't even try to mislead somebody. We don't try to make someone think something other than what is the truth. There'll be times in our life when, you know, maybe there's something that is of a more of a personal nature, and we might be tempted to mislead somebody into thinking something else. There are ways in which we can avoid talking about things that are personal to us, and it might be something as saying, you know what, that's really a personal area for me. I just really don't want to go there, and not cloak it in something else, misleading somebody, which really is deceit. So we're to have a life of honesty. Let's walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. What is rioting? That's wild, loose living, partying. We're not to be that way. And I know that that you none of you folks do that, but let me tell you, I've also known many Christians that have gone to good independent Baptist churches who have backslidden and have gotten into that later. You know, I've mentioned one man before that was a stalwart man in his church. I don't know what happened. There was we weren't sure about his wife's salvation, but that could have been a factor involved in this whole thing. But anyway, next thing I hear, and I knew that he wanted to train to be a pastor. Next thing I hear, he's a bouncer at a bar and just totally gone the opposite direction. Rioting. That's not supposed to be the believer. Wild, loose living, partying. Drunkenness, being under the influence of alcohol, or some sort of mood-altering drug, chambering, that's cohabitation without being married, it's adultery, that's fornication, wantonness, that's being loose, wording this carefully, unrestrained. Then it says, not in strife and envying. Some people yearn for strife. Some people enjoy fighting. I have no problem dealing, you know, contending for the faith, and we have to, but I don't enjoy just strife for strife's sake. I don't enjoy just going and having an argument with somebody. There's enough legitimate ones, you know, where you come across someone that's of a maybe a cult or something, and you have to really go through scripture and. But it's not done from a bitter sort of position. It's done from a position of wanting to win someone to Christ. So not to walk in strife, not to walk in envying. That's a given, isn't it? But it's a given, but it's still sometimes hard not to do. Where we can be envious of something that somebody else has that we don't have. We gotta always watch our desires, watch our motives, watch what we lust after, which should be nothing. Here we see that in verse 14, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So our life is to be one that's of living in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's where, you know, the charismatics will go off into weird and unscriptural doctrine, that basically stating that you have to call down the Holy Spirit into us. And we know that for the believer, the believer is inhabited by the Holy Spirit right from the day of their salvation. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit is, again, going back to that old illustration I've used before, two cups. One's full of mud and it's got this much space left for water, and the other is empty. One can't be filled with water. One can only hold that much water, and the rest is mud. It's really unusable. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to repent of sin, turn from sin, and to be a vessel meet for the Master's use. You think of that familiar verse. It was just in the passage there that we were reading earlier from Galatians. Galatians chapter 5:16. This passage. Different one. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It's a battle. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. For if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then he goes into the fruits of the flesh. And then, of course, we're familiar with Galatians 5:22 on the fruits of the Spirit. So we're supposed to walk in the Spirit, fulfill those fruits in our life. Back in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 12, we read, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Reckon mean to acknowledge. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Don't let it rule. Don't let it have a position of authority in your life. If you have the time, I encourage you to read John Bunyan's book, Holy War. And I think he might have a couple things off in there, but his illustration doesn't quite sync that well in just a couple spots. But on the whole, it's a great masterpiece. And he talks about Diabolus convincing the men of man's soul to open up the door, because he could not break through, but they had to open up the door. The eye gate, the ear gate, and so on and so forth. And when he was allowed in, finally, he then took over control of that city of man's soul. And he erected a tower, and that tower it blocked out the light of the sun. And it's also picturesque about what Satan does in our heart, and how if we allow him to build a tower, if we let him in, if we allow him to build a tower, he will eclipse the light of the Son of God in our life. He'll eclipse God's light in our life. And he also, by doing that, eclipsing that light, he had an impact on Mr. Recorder, who was basically the conscience, who would go to the books, and he would read out against the inhabitants of the land. But when that light was not there, Mr. Recorder could not do that. And we think about Romans chapter 2, the conscience or Romans chapter 1, the conscience either accusing or else excusing one another. Give me a second here. I got to recall where I was going with that thought. Well, we'll cap it off right there on that thought. Okay. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So we don't let sin reign in our mortal bodies. That's what I was getting at. Satan reigning. Satan building up his towers. Instead, we demolish those towers. We allow the Holy Spirit to reign in our life. We have that choice. The Holy Spirit will not force us to be used as a channel for his work. We have to make that decision. The last half of verse 14 is also a great principle here. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Make no provision. We're not to allow anything, to leave anything in our life that can fulfill our lusts. That's the same thing as the drunkard saying, well, I think I'm going to quit now. But I'll just leave a six-pack in the basement, far, far away, just in case I need it. You know, you read about people that have come under conviction. I think of some that came under conviction under people like Billy Sunday, and one of the things he preached out against a great deal was the area of drinking. And, you know, various people have come under conviction, and the first thing they do is they go home. I think of Louis Zamperini. I touched on him. I gave some illustrations from his life story probably about a year ago. A man was interned in a Japanese prisoner of war camp during the Second World War, and how when he came back to America, he was pretty traumatized by some of the things that had happened during one of the prison guards in particular beating up on him, and how he went into booze in a big way. But then he got saved, and it was such a radical change. He went straight home. He poured his booze down the sink. You know, it's the same thing as someone that's got an addiction to smoking, saying, enough is enough, I am done with this. They go home and they flush the cigarettes down the toilet. They're making no provision for the flesh. It's the man that's got a problem with filthy magazines, taking them and burning them, getting rid of them, not leaving a stash just in case. We cannot make provision for the flesh. We cannot say, well, but maybe this won't work. Maybe this won't pan out. Do you realize how much money I have laid up in this? I know some of you made some big decisions, changes when you got saved and you got rid of expensive video games and all the games, and you know that wasn't a big deal. It was you saw that it was wrong in your life and destructive and a time waste and a money waste, and you got rid of it. You didn't say, well, but I'll get rid of the bad games. I'll just keep the system in case I have a change of heart. We make no provision for the flesh. It also influences places where we go. You know, if we know that there's a certain area of town that's got some shops that have apparel in the window that's really bad, scantily clad mannequins. We ought to avoid that area if we can. I think of those that maybe have gotten victory over certain sins like drinking and smoking, not going past bars, liquor stores, and not hanging out with coworkers while the coworkers smoke. You know, say, well, that's okay, I've gotten over that now. And we ought to have a sense of victory where we don't classify ourselves as a drunkard or as a smoker, but where we say, no, I have victory through Christ. But at the same time, I'm not going to place myself in a situation where I could fall back into sin. Now, these may not be issues for any of you, but each of us has our own areas where we have to be careful. Make no provision. We don't put ourselves in compromising positions. You know, I've been talking to a couple recently about, they've been telling me about some of the people in their life that have dragged them back into sin over and over and over. And I advised them and counseled them that they have to cut ties with many of them. And with some, if it's not as dangerous, maybe they'll connect with them at Tim Hortons over a coffee. But not to allow them into their home where they'll drag them back into that old path again. We don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Okay. Well, we're at 3 o'clock here, and we're at the end of chapter 13. Lord willing, not this coming Sunday, but 2 weeks from now, we'll start chapter 14. We have Brother Giesbrecht preaching both services this coming Sunday, and also preaching the Monday and the Tuesday. So I'm really looking forward to those meetings, and I hope you are. Hope you can make it for many or all of those services. So Sunday, he's preaching all the services. He'll be doing his presentation on Liberia during the Sunday school. So Miss Hannah, if he's got a slide presentation, we can have the children up as usual. And then he'll be preaching the morning worship and the Sunday afternoon, plus Monday and Tuesday. Okay, well, let's close the word of prayer. Dear Father, we come before you. We thank you that we can be conquerors through your Son, through what he did on the cross. Lord, we don't have to be bound by sin. Lord, you've cut the chain that bound us to our old sin nature. Our sin nature is no longer our master, but our sin nature is still tagging along behind us. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the light, to not walk in the darkness, but to shun darkness, to hate darkness. Lord, that we would put on the armor of light, that we would protect ourselves, and in so doing, Lord, that we would also be a bright shining light to the lost. Lord, help us to redeem the time. Lord, we're at the beginning of a new week. We pray that by the end of this week, Lord, we could look back on many accomplishments, particularly for you. We pray that we would have opportunities to witness this week and use those opportunities wisely. Lord, we pray for our relationships with our neighbors and co-workers and people we meet. Lord, just help us to use every opportunity we can. Help us not to make any provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Lord, that we would not give it any space, not even a toehold in our life. We would never give ground to the flesh. We ask that you be with those that are traveling home. We ask that you give them safety. Pray that you bless them for their effort at coming out. We pray that you be with the Watson family as they get a new vehicle. We just pray that you would just guide and direct in that area. Lord, we pray that you be with Brother John, Sister Margaret, Sister Annie, Sister Valerie, my wife Emily, various others, Lord, that are having going through some medical troubles right now. I just pray that you would give them healing and give them a special blessing. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for coming out. May the Lord bless you in this coming week.